To succeed, just let go. This is Willie Horton, exploring how we must and can take control of our state of mind and transform our lives. You're very welcome.
I could quote the Buddha. Could quote the Bible. Could quote people like Anthony DeMello, Deepak Chopra, Eckhart Tolle. I could even quote myself. I recollect, sorry, just as a complete aside, many years ago, sitting with a group of parents being lectured by, of all people, a tennis coach. And he started his presentation by quoting himself. And I couldn't help myself. I simply said out loud, well, loud enough for a few people around me to hear, God, you've really arrived when you can quote yourself. And of course, the meeting descended into a shambles. Sorry, disruptive element. I could quote all those people and tell you that all is well in the here and now. When we meditate, we experience what that actually means in practice. And indeed, until we actually experience it in practice, in the reality of the moment, it would be very easy to completely discount the notion, the idea. What a notion! That all is well. Because if you look at the world at the moment, you could come very quickly to the conclusion that that is absolute nonsense. All is not well. Look at what's going on in the world. Look at the madness all around us on a global level. You don't even need to look at a global level. Look at the madness all around you. One of the key things that people with whom I work tell me at the outset, almost at the outset of their journey into self-discovery and the realization that all is well, one of the first things they notice is the madness all around them. And as we've said before, you don't have to look far for that. Parents screaming at their children, enjoy yourself on holidays. I'm serious. We actually see that around here all the time. Worse, people hitting their children, beating the enjoyment of their holidays into them. Husbands and wives, boyfriends and girlfriends, shouting and screaming at each other, jumping from moving cars. Some of the stories I've recounted to you before of normal crazy people on holidays, believe it or not, on holidays, supposedly enjoying themselves. People fighting in the supermarket, people fighting in the supermarket car park over car parking spaces when there's a load of car parking spaces free in the next aisle. People are crazy. But people are crazy on a more dangerous level than just fighting over a car park space or who's in front of who in the queue in the supermarket. Because, for example, and I deal with this and have dealt with it an awful lot with people with whom I work and have worked over the last 30 years, it is not right for somebody to bully somebody else at work. It is wrong on so many levels. It is morally wrong for somebody to bully somebody else. And yet it is going on all of the time. And in some organizations, it is actually part of the organizational culture. And in other organizations, it is actually part of the strategy. I recollect talking to one particular client of mine a number of years ago who was being bullied at work, being maneuvered into a position where she felt that she had to resign. I said to her, just mention France Telecom, now Orange in France. She said, what do you mean? I said, do you not know what happened in France Telecom about 15 years ago? Rather than lay people off and pay them redundancy, rather than initiating a proper and moral redundancy program, the senior leadership in France Telecom, or some of them, came up with a plan to sideline people, to transfer people, to move people into jobs that weren't jobs, so that in despair, people would actually leave of their own accord. The result of that strategy was that a number of employees took their own lives, as a result of which there was an inquiry, as a result of which two or three members of the senior leadership team who came up with that strategy are in prison, which is where they belong. See, if you're being bullied at work, it is morally wrong. If you're being bullied at home, and this is something that I deal with again and again and again, even perhaps more so than being bullied at work. If you're being bullied or abused at home or manipulated, and manipulation is a really subtle form of bullying, that's morally wrong. Now, if these things are morally wrong, how can anybody tell you that all is well in the world? While we're talking about morals, we could talk about the current incumbent of the White House, who talks about how his power is only constrained and controlled by his own morals. We just leave that one hanging there. It doesn't need any further comment. But if things are wrong, and if things are being done to you that are wrong, how can somebody like me or the Buddha or Tony DeMello say to you, ah, in the peace and quiet of the moment, all is well? Well, first of all, I could quote neuroscience. Neuroscience has a beautiful photograph, an actual brain scan, of the difference between a brain that is buried in thought, in other words, a normal, crazy, everyday brain, and a brain of somebody who is completely clear of thought. The actual comparison of the two photographs is between somebody just going about their normal everyday life, that's the dark side of the force, and the other picture is of a brain under anaesthetic. Now, I've mentioned a couple of weeks ago, indeed, I've mentioned a number of times over the years in this podcast, that when we are under general anaesthetic, neuroscience knows that this is one of the almost unique situations in the normal life where the brain is completely free of thought and, as a result of that, completely functioning, completely focused, completely experiencing the wonder of all being well in the here and now. Unfortunately, you're under general anaesthetic at the time, so you're not aware of it. But we also know, because neuroscience has proved it again and again and again, that we can do that, I was going to say to ourselves, we can do that for ourselves by regularly meditating, unplugging our automated thinking mind and allowing, as the photographs display, our brain light up like the most beautiful Christmas tree, like a Christmas tree that you have never seen, like fireworks that you've never seen, like the aurora borealis on speed. In that state of mind, all is well, regardless of what is going on around you. Now you might say to yourself, of what practicality is that if I'm being bullied at work, if I'm being manipulated or abused at home, if my business isn't going well, if my teenage children are abusing me, something else that not only have I dealt with regularly with my clients, one-to-one clients and online program owners over the years, I've been that soldier. So of what practicality is my brain lighting up like the most beautiful Christmas tree on the face of the earth in the face of all of that? Well, the answer is awfully simple. Because until I allow my brain light up like that, not only will everything not be well in my life, I will make everything that I think is not well in my life worse. Let's explore that. When I use my mind normally, my senses tell me what is going on, and in order for me to make sense of what my senses are telling me, I refer to what cognitive psychology calls my stored knowledge. It's stuff that I learned when I was young and impressionable during my formative years. We've covered this before. It isn't so much that I make nonsense of what is going on in the here and now as a result of that cognitive appraisal process. It is that as a result of that process, I actually think that what happened to me when I was 3 is what's happening to me now. And whatever mechanisms I came up with to defend myself and make it through what was happening to me when I was 3 will again be used by me automatically in the here and now as a 40-year-old, a 50-year-old, a 60-year-old. People don't grow wiser, they just grow older, generally speaking, when they're using their minds normally. So it's actually worse than me not knowing what is going on in the here and now, if I'm using my mind normally. It is that I think what happened to me when I was 3 is actually what is happening to me in the here and now. I react to that and I make what is going on worse. So the very first thing I will say to you is that if you are being put upon, if you are being, and I was going to use the word victimized, but I'll come back to that in a minute. If you are being abused in the workplace or at home or in the tennis club or the golf club, all manner of nonsense goes on in clubs like that. If you're being abused, the first thing that you need to do is stop allowing your thinking mind think that the abuse you are suffering now is the same as the abuse that you suffered when you were 3 or 4 years old, when you took the psychological snapshots to enable you make your way in the world. Because what is going on now is not the same as what went on when you were a child. What is going on in the here and now is completely different. It is unique. It's not a replay or a repeat performance. You see, if we're using our minds normally, not only do we think it is a replay, we, through our automatic reaction, make it a repeat performance. It is none of the above. It is unique, and it can be dealt with by our turning up to the here and now. We're teasing this out. We're taking this apart and going to put it back together again. Before we go any further, let me come back to victimized that I mentioned a moment ago. I recollect working here one-to-one in the Alps with a client who visited me over the course of 3 days a number of years ago. And the first thing he did after our 3 days together on his return to the UK was resigned his position as chairman of the board of a charity that helped victims. I don't know what the actual charity was, and I don't know what they were victims of, but the point he made to me was, all I'm doing in that role is encouraging people to continually think that they are victims. If you stop thinking that you are a victim, first of all, whatever gave rise to you being apparently victimized in the first place doesn't have power over you anymore, and you can begin to move on. Now, of course, the interesting thing about, say, a victim of abuse in adult life, like you're being bullied at work, for example, is that they're actually not victims now. They're victims based on what happened to them when they were 2 or 3 years old. And the only reason that the things that happened to them when they were 2 or 3 years old are still preying on their mind is the fact that they are allowing their automatic way of thinking continually give its attention to what happened to them when they were 2 or 3 years old. Once you unplug that, once you take your attention away from all of the thoughts that make you believe you are a victim or put upon or less than you actually really are. Once you unplug that attention from those thoughts have no power over you at all. And say you were abused, say as a child or an adult. It happened once, or maybe it happened multiple times in reality. But the fact is that if you keep thinking about it, you're doing it to yourself again and again and again. That is madness. That makes no sense at all. So this guy resigned his position as chair of a charity that was looking after victims. Feeling that you're a victim ensures that whatever was done to you, you end up doing it to yourself again and again and again. We all need to move on. We all need to move in to the reality of the here and now. Because in the reality of the here and now, I can assure you, and I've the pictures to prove it, the scientific evidence to prove it, never mind what philosophers and great people, enlightened people perhaps might have told you. I've the pictures to prove it. In reality, all is well. All is beautifully flowing. But let's keep going with this. Because when we're using our minds normally, nothing's well. Even when good stuff happens, you actually say to yourself, oh God, this is too good to be true. Or as my grandmother used to say, all laughing comes to crying. And the old expression that pride comes before a fall and all good things come to an end. Even when we're enjoying ourselves, when we're using our minds normally, we know that it's going to end and our mind takes us off into the future, worrying about what it'll be like when it's over. Or I got an email from somebody a couple of weeks ago, which I ignored, by the way, where he said he had the most wonderful, quote unquote, perfect moment with a couple of family members the previous Friday night. And now he said, the real problem I have is how do I recreate that perfect moment? And the answer is you don't. You live in the here and now and perfect moments land in your lap. When we use our minds normally, we're mad. As I said, when we're enjoying ourselves, we are fearful and worried about when we won't be enjoying ourselves. And indeed, most of the time, using our minds normally, we're not enjoying ourselves. We're looking at the glass half empty. We're looking at the fact that we are being put upon, abused, that the world is a nasty place, that the system is against us, and that all is not well. And the problem with that is twofold. Number one, I bury myself in that kind of thought. I distance myself further from the here and now. I react to what I think is going on in the here and now. Even if it is just reading, doom-scrolling the news at the moment, I react to what is going on. And because of the fact that we are all connected at a subatomic level on this planet, I add to the doom and gloom and I drag people who are doom-scrolling with me around the world further and further down. I'm part of the problem rather than the solution. But of course, if I am part of the problem, I am also potentially part of the solution. So let's keep going with this. If I'm using my mind normally, I'm buried in thinking about what is going on, which magnifies what is going on, which makes the whole situation feel and appear worse to me, which means I will become more reactive, more defensive, and make matters even worse, and magnify the whole thing even more. That's the first point, the first downside. Actually, of many downsides of using your mind normally. The second big problem with that is that if I'm caught in that doom loop, not only do I not know what's going on, because I've magnified it out of all recognition to the reality of what's going on, not only do I not know what's going on, not only am I reacting to what's going on and making things worse, the biggest problem with using my mind that way is that I believe that I will not be able to do what deep down I know I have to do to rectify whatever is going on. Let me attempt to make it even simpler than the garbled sentences that I have just uttered. If I'm using my mind normally, whatever's going on in my life is magnified and made feel worse. And that enables me react more to make the whole matter worse. It's a vicious downward circle. Worse than that, I believe I am powerless to do what I know I need to do to rectify whatever situation that I've magnified out of all proportion. Now, of course, the second part of that problem, that I'm now powerless to do what I know I need to do, is actually ingrained into the normal crazy person as a result of how we learned about ourselves, in particular during the third year of our lives. We all have chips on our shoulders. We all have perceived inadequacies. We all at some level know, that's wrong, but we think we know, we believe that little old me couldn't take the bold and courageous action that I know I need to take in the face of being abused at work or at home or being bullied or whatever is going on in my life that's bad in my life. I know deep down, no I don't, but we'll come on to that in a minute. I know deep down that little old me isn't capable of doing what needs to be done and certainly isn't capable of speaking up for himself or herself and saying what needs to be said. If for starters, this is a really interesting one because somebody actually emailed me about it just a couple of days ago. If for starters, I said what I know needs to be said, what would other people think of me? Oh my God, what would other people think of me? People who don't give a damn about me, because 96% of the people on this planet don't give a damn about you. You do know that, don't you? If you're worried about what they are thinking about you, you're wasting your time, because, being normal, crazy people, they are worrying about what you think of them. And none of it has anything to do with the reality of the moment where all is well. Now, if I disconnect my automatic thinking mind, first of all, I've dealt with the first situation of magnifying what's actually going on out of all proportion. Now I know what's really going on because I am experiencing the reality of the here and now. That's so different to 96% of people's perceptions in this world. So different. I now know what is actually going on. More importantly, I know what I need to do to effortlessly make my way through what is going on, in the sure and certain knowledge that even as I'm wading through that difficult situation, all is well. Because I've turned up to the here and now. My brain is firing on all cylinders, literally lit up like a Christmas tree. I know what's going on. I know what I need to do. I know what I need to say. And I just go and do it. And I just go and say it, because having unplugged my automatic thinking brain, there's no part of me that is going to shout at me and say, "Oh, little old, you can't do that. Little old, you can't say that. You're free. You're free of all the crap in your own head that's been holding you back. And you are in a position to ensure that not only in your own flowing mind is all well, but that in your own flowing life all is well too." We should embrace challenges. We should embrace the crap that's thrown at us in our personal lives, in our working lives, in our business lives, because it provides us with an opportunity, first of all, to man up or woman up. It provides us with an opportunity to face off what's actually going on in the most effortless and perhaps even enjoyable possible way. It provides us with an opportunity to transform what the normal thinking mind would think of as a catastrophe into a perfect moment. A moment where I have conquered my own thinking mind, where I have conquered the thoughts that held me back, where I have conquered the apparently unconquerable, and have come out the other end and have delighted myself as a result. That's a perfect moment, isn't it? And you see, once you experience something like that, it encourages you, as we discussed in last week's podcast, to continue moving forward. So if you're facing, say, a bully at work, deep down you know what you need to do. And obviously I can't advise you in this podcast because I don't know the circumstances. And even when I do know the circumstances in conversing with a client one-to-one who is being bullied, I can't advise them, because that would be to give them a set of rails on which to run, and that is not how life works. My advice to people who are being bullied at work is to turn up, experience what is going on, and do what feels right. Say what feels right. And 100 times out of 100, the feedback I get is, "Oh my God, that was easy. That was the kind of effortless, obviously, you've been talking to me about. The bully has gone away, or the bully stopped bullying, or the bully went off and found another person to bully," which of course is not the ideal solution. But the first thing we need to do in our lives is change our lives, transform our lives, change our little world, so to speak. If you're being manipulated in a personal relationship, you need to say what needs to be said. And again, I can't give you a script. We say what needs to be said when the moment presents itself, as it always will. And we say effortlessly what needs to be said without thinking about it, because we're at our best when we're not thinking. We say it as somebody said to me recently, in a way where it's almost as if I'm listening to myself saying the words that I thought I could never say. And I amaze myself, I surprise myself as a result. And you see, when you say something that way, the message lands. Whereas if you reacted to what's going on and got into an argument, you'd make matters worse. But when you say what needs to be said, it transforms the relationship or brings the relationship to a point where perhaps it should have been brought to long beforehand, the end. And I know plenty of people who have arrived at that particular outcome in the realization, again, that all is well. Again, what we need to do is unplug our automatic way of thinking so that we know what's going on and we know what we have to do. In flowing that way, not only do we experience the reality that in the moment all is well, we are encouraged, we're delighted, we are excited as a result of the way in which we act, knowing that all is well and knowing that what I'm doing, what I'm saying, is the right thing. And I'm doing it effortlessly and I'm seeing the real results in real time, as a result of which I am changing my own little world. And I was going to say that's all that we can do. That's the start of all that we can do. We talked at the beginning of this episode about the madness in the world at the moment. And many people are going down the rabbit hole of that madness, following it on social media, lapping up what they think is news, which very often is just commentary or analysis or supposition. So it isn't really hard news at all. Never mind fake news. Never mind the lies that are out there at the moment and the manipulation that is going on. But people will throw up their hands in despair and say, well, there's nothing I can do about it. That's not true. If you're one of those people who is buried in a world of thought, thinking that the notion that all is well is just an idealistic notion, wishful thinking, if you will. If you're one of those people, for starters, you need to realize that you can control nothing in this world, or almost nothing. There is one thing over which you can have absolute control, and indeed, it is your responsibility to take absolute control of it. And that is your state of mind. It isn't what you are thinking. It's different from what you are thinking. It is taking control of your state of mind to experience the reality of the here and now, which, as an inevitable knock-on, unplugs your automatic way of thinking that would take you down, normally, the rabbit hole. We have responsibility to take control of our state of mind. It is the only thing in the world over which you can exercise full control. You can control nothing else in this world. And you see, people who are manipulating other people in relationships think that they can control the other person, normally for the gratification of their own ego or conceptual self. But actually all they're doing is grinding the other person down by sapping them of their energy. And as we said earlier on, that's morally wrong. It's wrong on a whole variety of different levels, but it's certainly morally wrong. If or when you are in charge of your state of mind, you're never going to misconstrue what is going on. You'll know exactly what's going on. You're never going to react to what is going on. You're going to take right action and you're going to do it effortlessly. As a result of which, you have an enormous influence over everything, for starters, in your little life. At the most fundamental, by virtue of the fact that you will have unplugged your automatic way of thinking, by virtue of the fact that you are present and you know what's going on, that presence will have an impact on so many levels with the people who are close to you. Whether it's the bully at work, or the manipulating partner at home, or those that you love and would love to nurture so that they can be all that they can be, as well as you being all that you can be. Our presence lifts those around us. And this is perhaps one of the most important points that I want to make in this episode this week. As a result of what I've just described, I change my own internal world, which transforms the external reality of my world. As a result of my changing my little internal world and transforming my external world, I have an influence on those around me, and those who are open to it will be transformed as a result of my presence. And my little drop of presence in the flowing ocean of universal energy will ripple out through those around me and ripple out into the universe. We know, because there's decades of research that proves it, that the more people who are present and the more people that are calm in this world, the greater the influence their presence and calm will have on the world in general. It's a scientific fact. It's something that I've referred to again and again and again. I've actually referred to the science and this research over the last couple of months in this podcast. I refer to it in detail in the Psychology of Success online program. The point I'm making is that in changing my little world, I play my role in changing this world of ours, and enabling this world of ours become the kind of place that encourages people to be all that they can be, to be the best version of themselves, to experience the kind of happiness, joy, and peace of mind that we can all experience once we take charge of our own state of mind. It all starts with, I was going to say me, I'm talking to you. It all starts with you. You are the creator. Go and create what is best.
You've been listening to Succeed, Just Let Go. Hope you've got a little something to help you transform your life today.